Episode of A Fall of Moondust.
Hello again. Today is the third and final part of A Fall of Moondust, a novel of mine dramatized to radio by Andrew Lynch. The time, the 21st century. The place, the moon. Following the moonquake, the tourist cruiser Cellini has sunk 15 meters into the dust of the Sea of Thirst. This dust is a strange material. It flows like a liquid. No rescue attempt under such extraordinary conditions has ever before been mounted, but Chief Engineer Lawrence is on his way with help. Aboard Cellini, crew and passengers are slowly sinking into unconsciousness.
Mac, I'm afraid we've got another serious problem on our hands.
Another one?
I'm afraid so. It appears we're experiencing a buildup of carbon dioxide.
But I thought we were safe for another few days.
Yeah, under normal circumstances, but unfortunately, I think the heat's affected the CO2 conversion system.
How long did it be gone?
Impossible to say accurately, but I'd say a matter of hours.
That doesn't give Lawrence time to get here with his team.
It could be a bit of panic.
Oh, not too delighted myself.
Any ideas?
Well, there's always the sleep treatment.
It would have a respiration, right?
Well, that's all we can do then.
I'll have a word with him while you radio through, Pash.
Right. I'll come with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I have some grave news. You may have noticed some difficulty in breathing.
Now we have.
And several people have complained of headaches. I'm afraid it's the air. We still have plenty of oxygen, but the carbon dioxide we breathe out isn't escaping. The chemical conversion unit has been affected by the heat. As we see it, there's just one chance. We must render ourselves unconscious.
How do we do that?
Asleep, our respiration rate is halved, and the air will last twice as long.
How do you propose we do that, Commodore?
Still, I take it the first aid kit is the standard issue.
Yes, Commodore.
Could you pass it, please? Now, this, for those of you who might not know, is a standard sleep tube. Now, each tube is sufficient to render an adult instantaneously asleep and keep them asleep for approximately 10 hours.
I'm having none of it.
Now, please, let me finish. We don't have any other choice. Two people will remain awake. One will be the captain.
And I suppose the other one will be you.
No. I'm taking the easy way out. Just to show you how harmless it is, I'll go first. Now, you just unscrew the top and put the set against your forearm and press here. I'll see you all in 10 hours.
Sleep well, Commodore.
There's no need to worry about that. It's touched.
Rescue base now our position. All that remains is to take a sleep tube. Ah, I see the Commodore has set us a good example.
I'm a paying passenger and I have my rights. I have no intention of taking one of those.
Miss Morley, I am not arguing with you. I am in total charge of this vessel and its occupants. I am tired, I am hot, my head is banging. I'd much rather sleep, but it's my duty to stay awake.
Morley, we must help the captain. He must preserve the good air. Please pass me one, Miss.
Thank you, Professor. Let's not waste any more time. These are microjet hypodermics. You won't feel a thing.
Here you are. Thank you.
What really worries the lady, Captain, is she thinks you'll take advantage of her while she's asleep.
How dare you? I've never been so insulted.
Neither have I.
Stop. Oh, give me the damn. Don't come any closer. There.
Sleep tight, Miss Morley.
Everything will be all right. I know it will. Are you comfortable, Mr. Schuster?
Oh, yes, thank you, sir. And look, Mara's already asleep. See you later.
Cellini to Chief Engineer Lawrence, Port Royal's Control. Come in, please.
Hello, Pat. Lawrence here. How did it go?
More or less as planned. Myself and Duncan McKenzie are the only two left awake.
I'll give it to you straight, Pat. Even if we don't hit any snags, we can't reach you in under 5 hours. Can you hang on?
We'll have to. Mac's getting the oxygen supply from the spacesuit. It's the passengers I'm worried about.
All you can do is check their breathing and give them a blast of oxygen when it's necessary. We'll do our best. You can rely on that. Any more you want to say?
No, I'll call you every quarter of an hour. Fellini out. Oh, you go first.
All right.
We'll take it in turns to keep a check on the passengers.
Oh, I never thought breathing could be so enjoyable. Here you are, Pat. How long will this last?
About 12 hours between us. Then how much the others will need?
What have you found a smile at?
Sorry, I was just thinking I wouldn't have much chance if you decided to keep the bottle for yourself.
I thought all you moonborn men were sensitive about that.
Oh, it's never bothered me. Couldn't help being born in a gravity 1/6 of yours. How could you tell?
Oh, your build, mainly. You're the same tall, slender physique. And your skin. The lamps never seem to get the same tan as natural sunlight on Earth.
I've never been to Earth, never will. Couldn't take the gravity. Looked Australia plenty of times through my telescope.
Mm.
I have a sentiment for it. My parents took off from Woomera.
Oh, Woom is an Aboriginal word meaning a booster stage for spears.
Ah, well, live and learn. I'd better go check the others.
You might not get your story after all, Mr. Spencer. That oxygen cylinder runs out.
You sound a heartless man, Skipper.
That is one of life's realists. Am I right, Lester? I hope they get the poor devils out. Feel like a goddamn vulture sitting up here on a mountain shell.
Well, I hope it's going to be a rescue, not an exhumation.
Have to be quick. Captain Harris didn't sound too perky last time he reported in.
Fellini calling Lawrence. Come in, please.
Pat, we aren't far away. I can see the probe. It won't be long now.
Alas. It's the heat as well as the carbon dioxide.
I know. Don't talk unless it's absolutely necessary. I'll leave this waveband open, and I'll do the talking. I'll let you know everything that's going on, okay, Pat?
All right.
My God, this is better than I could have hoped for. We'll go on air as soon as you can take me. I'll do the intro, and then you can pick up Lawrence on the security radio wavelength and let him do all the work, huh? My cue out will be, the next voice you hear will be that of Lawrence himself. Okay.
What about the epic struggle for survival and all that?
This could be the greatest event in live television, and I must insist on silence. That's if you want a big, fat bonus, huh? What do you say, Skipper?
Lester, shove that cotton-picking banjo and keep your mouth shut.
You'll be on air in 5 seconds from now. 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Morris Spencer coming to you live from the Sea of Thirst, Earthside, the Moon. The points of light you see on the right of your screens is Chief Engineer Lawrence and his gallant crew of rescuers. The probe, sticking starkly from the surface of the sea, is the only link 22 people entombed in the dust cruiser Cellini have with the rest of humanity. I'm going to leave the man in charge of the rescue, Chief Engineer Lawrence, to describe his plans to bring the 22 people to the surface, as he is in direct contact with Captain Pat Harris of the stricken craft. I'll leave the hellish conditions down there to your imagination. It's very hot, and there is a serious buildup of carbon dioxide. Let us pray to our own God that Lawrence can get them out of there in time. The next voice you hear will be that of Lawrence himself.
Uh-oh. We got big trouble, Mr. Spencer. I have Tourist Commissioner Davies on a priority channel.
Hell. Okay, I'll handle him, Skipper.
All right.
Hello, Commissioner Davies. How are you?
I don't know how you got there so quickly, Spencer, but you've got 1 minute to get off the air. Don't you have any sense of moral peace?
I'm just doing my job the best way I know how, Commissioner.
Off in 1 minute, or your channel loses its franchise.
Let's not get excited, Commissioner. What's the problem?
We have nothing to discuss, Spencer.
I've got one of the greatest news items in moon history. That's what we've got to discuss. Now, calm down, Commissioner, and let's look at it from your point of view.
What the hell do you mean?
Strictly between us, Commissioner. Think positive, huh? What way can this tragedy benefit you and your department?
I don't think I've got follow you.
You must be going through a pretty hard time, huh? Tourist boss with 22 people incarcerated. It doesn't look too bright for the future, does it?
What are you getting at?
I think we could be men who understand each other. You could break me and my station, but in the minute I take to get off the air, I could break you.
Are you threatening me?
Damn right I am. But I'm also offering you a deal.
I don't have to take this from you.
Commissioner, I have an audience of 200 million people and rising by the minute. I could tell them what a job you've done here on the moon, what tourism is like here, and what it could be. I could have your hotels and pleasure domes overflowing. We've got the solar system sat on the edge of their seats, Commissioner. What do you say?
We're here, Pat. Right above you. Would you believe there's a spaceship just on the ledge in the mountains waiting for all of you to come out and take your photographs?
Well, remember to comb my hair. Why didn't you land there and save time?
Wouldn't have saved time, Pat. The ledge is too high, and there are too many rocks to climb. We'd have spent longer getting our equipment down from there and across the sea. How are you?
Max, giving oxygen to Mrs. Schuster isn't a bad way. Seems to be getting foggy in here. Or is it just me?
We're ready to drill now.
I think the bottle's nearly empty, though.
We're on our way. The first section's 5 meters down. Hang on.
I'll just have a sleep until you come in.
No, Pat. No, keep awake. Talk to me. How's Mac?
Who?
Mackenzie. Oh. Is he awake?
Why is it so foggy in here? I've only seen fog on videos.
God damn it. We should have made the drill detachable from the surface. He isn't going to have the strength. We have to leave. There wasn't time to drill it. There. We hit the roof. Pat, you hear that? The first pipe is there. Can you hear it?
I heard you. You're on the roof.
Listen very carefully. You're seconds away from fresh air, but this is very, very important. We will bang it a couple of times, and you have to tell us if it is clear of the circuitry. Do you understand? Pat.
Go ahead.
Is that clear?
I think so, yeah.
Start the drill. We've got to risk it now. Pat, listen. This is very important. Your pressure down there is greater than up here on the surface. Do not undo the bit until we tell you, or air will escape up the pipe. Do you understand that? Do not undo the bit. We didn't have time to fit a non-return valve.
Pat! Pat, it's still!
Thank God. Coleman, Matsui, help George with the oxygen line.
Commissioner Davies, there's a huge jet of mist or something, like a geyser shooting up in the air.
I can see it on my set.
I must comment on it to my viewers.
Is that agreed then, Mr. Spencer?
Yes, Commissioner. It's been a pleasure doing business with you.
If that geyser means they're all dead, I still want the same arrangement. Is that agreed?
Of course.
And no comments at all from Lawrence?
That's already been actioned. We can all benefit from this, Commissioner.
I put a book over the end of the pipe. The air was going out instead of in. It's gotten very dark in here.
You had us all scared there for a moment, Pat. Everything's going to be all right. Okay, George. Pat, we're going to blast that book away with the sweetest smelling oxygen you've ever known.
That's fantastic truth.
that? And that? Come away over by the pipe. Matt, you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Why is it so dark?
I got through to it. The main lights are out.
I went asleep.
No, it doesn't matter. They aren't all breathing properly. Can you give artificial respiration?
Yeah, sure. Mrs. Schuster's a strange color.
Well, do what you can.
How's it going down there?
Hang on. Give us a few minutes. We've got to give some artificial respiration again.
Mrs. Schuster's breathing.
Yeah, I think we might make it.
We're giving you oxygen at the lowest temperature we think is safe, so don't be alarmed. When we've cooled you down, let us know.
How are they, Mac?
They're all alive up to now.
I think we're going to be all right.
Pat, in about 5 minutes, we'll be sinking the second pipe. We'll bang on the roof again to make sure we are clear of your control. It's looking good, Pat.
As you can see through the transparent dome that encases the rescuers, the first stage, dropping an independent oxygen supply to the stricken Cellini, has now been completed. Another pipe, a vent pipe, is now being lowered by Chief Engineer Lawrence and his crew to complete the respiratory circuit. As the rescue continues to unfold, live on this channel, I cannot help, even with a lump in my throat, thanking the good Lord for granting us people like Chief Engineer Lawrence, working under the leadership of Tourist Commissioner Rex Davis. I've tried repeatedly to talk to the commissioner on the air, but he won't budge from this single-minded task of getting these people out alive and well. Perhaps he'll speak to us later.
You're through, Chief.
Okay, Pat. Now unscrew the bit, and then you can relax just a little. Is there anything you require urgently?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to get the main lights back on before they all wake up.
Fine. Our igloo above you is being pressurized now, so that should make our work a little more comfortable and avoid the danger of any more air escaping. Once you're out of there, we'll ferry you back to Bates in fours or fives, after a preliminary check by medics. What the hell was that?
That was just a sneeze. It's getting quite cool down here now.
All right, we'll put the oxygen temperature back to normal. The ski boat from Farside is just arriving. Nearly there, Pat.
Okay. Breathe deep, everyone. We have fresh air again.
How are we doing?
So far, so good, Commodore. Breathe deep. Just unscrewing the vent pipe. Come on, Stu. Wake up. Breathe. Enjoy the oxygen.
Oh, it's so cold.
We're going to be all right.
What's happened?
They got through to us, no. Professor. Breathe.
Thank God.
My goodness. Make sure anyone who is still asleep is breathing normally and keep them warm.
I'll do a tour of inspection.
Good girl. You okay, Mac?
Yeah, terrific. Mrs. Schuster, you had me worried for a while.
Good to see you, Mr. McKenzie. Okay, sleep again.
It's a vacation, Myra. You sure you're all right?
I'm fine. Did I snore, Mr. McKenzie?
Myra, 40 years married. You're still amazed.
I'll get the main lights back on. Just relax.
All right. How did you propose to get a joke, son?
I think you'd better ask Chief Engineer Lawrence, Commodore. Come under the bridge with me.
Hey, what's happening anyway?
Pat.
Yes, Chief.
We've stabilized pressures now. We'll have to give you a boost now and again, but most of the time, the pipes will be open-ended.
Great. I'd like to introduce Commodore Hanstein to you.
Very pleased to talk to you, Chief. Thanks for the fresh air.
My pleasure, Commodore.
What's the plan to get us out, Chief?
At the moment, we've just rigged up an igloo above you. That means we don't have to work in space suits. And when you come up, you'll be in a pressurized atmosphere. We're going to use a large sectional cylinder that'll sink under its own weight. We've more than enough sections to reach you, and the pressure of the tube will make the seal. Then we'll have a sort of well shaft down to you, and I have the dubious honor of cutting through Cellini's roof.
That sounds straightforward enough.
We're starting now. The sections are sealed with a rather flimsy material that stops the dust coming up, but won't stop me getting down.
We seem to be in capable hands, Pat.
Yes, I think we are.
Oh, you look tired, Pat.
I feel it. Mackenzie was a great help. Is everybody all right?
They've all come through it very well.
We're down more than 8 meters, more than halfway.
Pat, you know that? How far down was the oxygen pipe when it first entered the cabin?
About a meter.
Take a look now.
I see what you mean. Chief, have you pulled the vent pipes up at all?
No, there's been no need.
We're still sinking. The dust must never have settled.
We're within half a meter of you. Almost there.
When that tube hits us, it might shove us down.
Lawrence, we're still sinking. You'll have to give us more airline and make it quick.
What the hell, man?
What's happening? Pat, the rear pipes are just spraying in. And we're puking. The airline couch just coming in from both. Did you get that?
Yes, okay. Get those pipes out.
Oh, God.
Oh,
God.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Now we must jam the hole. Use my shirt. Commodore, will you grab the other one, please?
I can't see. My eyes are
hang on, I'm coming your way.
The light is still on. It's the dark.
You all right, Commodore?
I'm ready to jam the hole, I think, but I can't see a thing. My eyes are filled up with the dust.
Lawrence, can you hear me?
Yes,
we're drilled into the control panel. Take it up and come rear a meter. Hey, everybody, stay calm. Cover your mouths and noses up with clothing.
Yes.
Go ahead. Mac, be ready to detach the bit.
Right.
Get through to us.
Good. At least you've got oxygen. All right, now let's get that
set
of
water.
Come on, punch the key.
I'll
punch you properly now.
Carry it out. Back a bit.
Okay.
They better get up. Be quiet, everyone, please. You have to listen.
Wait a minute.
I'll cut a hole in the hole, then you pull me up again. Then drop the rope ladder. You listen, Chief. You won't see it. You might get stuck. If there's anything in the water, drown with us. Shut up, man. You
can't think of anything else.
Put the power
under
the
glider,
George.
Give
me a hand with the rope. I'm getting down, all right?
It's off, man.
We have air again,
good. Stand back. They're cutting through. Captain, the dust is more than a meter deep at this end. It's falling.
I'm through!
Get that damn rope to my head. I don't want to drop in. Pull me up. Pull me up. Just pouring in. I'm choking.
I think the bridge is beginning to slope.
That's where they drilled into the panel. Close the door. We get a spark, we can explode.
Pull me up, Ed. Get me up.
Chief, the bridge has exploded.
Hey, it's coming down.
Hey, there's the ladder. Now, quickly, stop climbing. Come on, Nick, quickly.
Are we getting up?
Quickly.
Hold on tight, Commodore, I'll get you out.
The bridge door isn't going to hold.
How many people are out there?
11. How halfway there?
Keep it moving, eh?
Come on, Myra. Get up there.
I'm not leaving you, Abby. I'll get stuck. Pull her up. She can't fly.
Abby.
What's happened? I can't see. The bridge door's gone. There's a tribal wave of dust from the bridge.
Hey, grab that hand quickly. Someone's got it.
Okay.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, Miss Morley. I've got
come on, Doc. Yeah. Come on,
Dolly.
There's just the four of us. If anybody's buried, they're lost.
You're next, Commodore.
No, if Sue's still here, she should...
Get up there and don't waste time.
Oh,
you're next, Sue.
That's
how you're
to go.
Go, Mac.
Hang on or let her, Pat, or you'll go under.
Don't worry about me. I'll be okay.
God.
There's just the captain there. Drag it up.
Drag him out. Come on.
Oh, you're all right, Pat.
Welcome aboard, Pat. Lawrence here.
I can't open my eyes, Chief, but it's good to hear you.
I can't see you either, but the medics are just arriving.
Make them comfortable, Ed.
You did a great job, Lawrence. I've never been so frightened in all my life. Thought for a moment I was going to join you.
What the hell caused in the first place?
Moonquake. A chance in a million.
And I always thought I had a nice, safe job.
Confirmation has just arrived that all 22 passengers and crew buried in the dust cruiser Cellini have been rescued unharmed by Chief Engineer Lawrence and the team put together by Tourist Commissioner Davis. They are all alive and well. After a chance in a million moon dust fall, the rescue operation has been a total success. And we now have a live interview with the man responsible for all tourism on the moon, Rex Davis. Commissioner.
Please, call me Rex. I must apologize for not speaking to you earlier, but I had other things on my mind. Even though I had 100% confidence in Jim Lawrence and his crew, I felt it my overriding responsibility to be on hand at all times.
We understand, Rex. Was there ever a time when you thought they may be lost?
No, not for a second. If this mishap has taught us anything, it's that the personnel on the moon are equipped to deal with any emergency. And as man becomes even more adventurous, we will be tested again and again. And again and again, we will prove ourselves equal to the task. Why, even now, there's a man who wants to pioneer dust skiing as a sport.
Do you mean like water skiing?
Exactly. Out there, on the Sea of Thirst. Isn't that an exciting prospect?
It is indeed, Rex. Who is this enterprising man who wants to pioneer dust skiing?
He's an Australian champion. And I have high hopes that he will be only the first of many who will wish to visit the Sea of Thirst. Who knows? It could even become the moon's main recreation center.
I do hope you enjoyed this BBC adaptation of my book, A Fall of Moondust. I look forward to you joining me again in my world of science fiction. Goodbye from me, Arthur C. Clarke. The play was dramatized for radio by Andrew Lynch and produced for the BBC by Glenn Dearman. Next week, part one of The Chrysalids.
CBC Radio.